You're pulling together in the handling of your money. You find this unity gives you a lift that you never dreamed you would have otherwise. And as we're talking about these opposites attract, and it's hard on a practical, mechanical level to learn to work together. Who should do the financial decision-making in the marriage?
Well, the man ought to do the financial decision-making in the marriage.
No, he shouldn't. He may be clueless.
Well, the lady then, ladies are, they care about the home. Maybe they should take care.
No, they shouldn't. They might be clueless. Here's an idea. God puts you together because you need each other. Larry Burkett says, if two people just alike get married, one of you is unnecessary. You fill in for each other's stuff, don't you? And so who does the financial decision making in a marriage? Both of you. That's who it is. Both of you do. Both of you do. Both of you do. Both of you do. And let me just tell you, men, your wife does not want to raise a large male child. She wants a man to be in her house. She wants a man. And that doesn't mean you suddenly have to become Poindexter nerd and start doing all the budgets and doing everything. She just wants someone to walk with her and make adult decisions. She doesn't want her man on an allowance. You put the kids on that, right? She wants, and men, ladies, your husband doesn't want to raise a princess. It's not cute. He wants a full-grown woman beside him. A woman of God, walking in God's spirit and God's power. When you put these two things together, it's amazing what happens. Both of you have to be adults to be able to win.
Well, I have to take care of my little wife. My husband, I give him a certain amount of money, but he's just like a four-year-old. He spends it.
That stuff's got to stop. That's children. And let me tell you what happens. The spouse that is the adult gets really sick of it and bitter after a while. And it causes major problems. They get tired of putting up with this large child in their life. Now, is that kind of bitter? Is that kind of blunt? Does that kind of hurt your feelings? Good. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to rough off the edges, man. I'm the sandpaper in your life. I want you to hear this stuff loud and clear. I've loved on people for so long in this subject, and I got to tell you, it is so freeing for a lady whose husband, for the first time in 17 years of marriage, stands up and says, I'm not going to take this away from you. I'm not going to bully you, but we're going to walk together. It is so freeing for a man after 11 years of marriage for his wife to stand up and go, I've been the problem, and I'm now going to be part of the solution with you. This is an amazing conversation in your marriage for some of you. Now, some of you are already doing this stuff right, but you and I know what I'm talking about. We've all got a friend. I got this friend. And opposites, it's a big deal here. The partner with the natural gift can prepare the budget, but the decision-making is done by both of you. You make the decisions together. Now, one of you is more administrative. One of you is the nerd. The nerd likes doing the budget because it gives them control and they feel like they're taking care of the loved ones, right? Now, the nerd is the administrative gift. They like details. You know, they're already online doing stuff ahead. They've done the homework ahead. They got here early and got a good seat. You know, the nerd has got everything organized. I mean, their sock drawer is folded, right? Their underwear drawer is folded. How many of you are on my team? You're the nerds at your house. I'm a nerd. Good. Okay. Now, and then there's the free spirit. The free spirit feels controlled, not cared for, and can appear irresponsible to the nerd. Now, free spirits can be perfectly grown up. They just don't really, they just don't get this thrill out of a three-generation spreadsheet. Going to the third tab is a little much for the free spirit, right? They're really glad this class is funny. Right? That's the free spirit. How many of you are on my wife's team? You're the free spirit. It can be man or woman. It doesn't matter. Now, see, the free spirits, you don't even have to tell them. They start a wave. Woohoo! Right? And some people say, well, the nerd is always the saver. The nerd's not always the saver. The nerd's not necessarily the saver. I'm not the saver at my house. I'm the spender. That's why God makes me teach this every day. My name is Dave, and I like stuff. Hi, Dave. Right? You know? And, you know, so the free spirit's not necessarily the spender. I'm a nerd spender. My wife is a free spirit saver. And so it can be mixed up, and it can be man or woman. There's no right or wrong here. There's just differences in how we're approaching this thing. So there's male and female differences. There's nerd and free spirit differences. There's all these different things that are entering into this equation, and then we try to talk about money. Well, no wonder there's a fight. No wonder. It's complicated. There's a lot of variables flying around in this discussion. Big time. And
You know, and then you get on top of this, you get a spouse who doesn't want to participate. A spouse who doesn't want to help. We call them a reluctant spouse. A spouse who's sick of hearing Dave Ramsey say, well, let me coach you just a little bit on this, okay? If you have a spouse who's not really on board, and I'm not talking about a free spirit. I'm just talking about they don't want anything to do with this stuff. You don't need to go in there and tell them Dave Ramsey said this and Dave Ramsey said that. You're going to make me into a cuss word. Don't do that. And then, you know, another thing you don't do is go, hey, I went to this class and we've got a new financial plan. Dave Ramsey laid out our new financial plan, and my financial plan is I'm going to sell your car. And then you wonder why they're not all excited about Financial Peace University. You got to think here. And what happens then is we get in attack mode, right? See, what happened here is this. You made the mistake of starting when you're having a disagreement with your spouse on something that you're passionate about changing your life on. If you start with what you're going to do, you're going to mess up. Instead, you need to talk about why. Don't talk about what we're going to do. Talk about why we're doing it. If we're going to live like no one else, what's it going to look like when we live and give like no one else? And start talking about that dream. Start talking about the why. Ask your spouse, what would it be like if we had $1 million? What would we do? Where would we travel to? What would we buy? Who could we help? What would be the giving pattern? What would be changed if we became something as a couple where we were working together on that? And talk about the why. Talk about the number one cause of divorce in North America today is money fights and money problems. I don't want this to happen to us. We just got married, or we've been married and we've been struggling. Look, this is our chance to fix this. This is a guy that knows what he's doing. He can walk us through this process. Talk about the why. Talk about your dreams. Because what normally happens is this. The nerd and the free spirit get married. And everything was cute when they were dating. You know, all those differences, they're cute when you're dating. But when you get married, they're abrasive then. It's not cute anymore. Those are the very things that make me mad, are the things that used to be cute. And so what happens is the nerd and the free spirit get married. And then they come home, and the nerd goes up on the mountain to talk to God, chisels out the budget on a stone tablet, comes home to the free spirit, and says, I've been talking to God, and here's our budget. God and me have figured this out. To which the free spirit goes, do what? I'll look at that when I get back from Home Depot. And so it begins. And the free spirit goes, I have married a control freak. This girl's got his thumb on me. She's trying to tell me everything to do. They're freaking me out. And the control freak nerd is going, how am I going to win? They won't behave. And they're running around with a pooper scooper trying to clean up everything. And so begins the fight. So I don't want to change you if you're a nerd. And I don't want to change you if you're a free spirit. But I have learned to teach you how to work together. Here's how you work together. We call it the budget committee meeting. Now, the budget committee meeting has rules. Nerds, I want you to do the budget. Right now, you're going to go to the quick start budget and knock that out like we talked about in the first lesson. When we get to the full budgeting thing, I want you to lay out the budget, because free spirits don't do budgets, do they, nerds? Say no. So I want you to lay out the budget, give every dollar a name. Every dollar has an assignment, the zero-based budget, income minus outgo equals zero, all of that stuff. I want you to lay all that stuff out, and I want you to write the budget, and I want you to lay it on the table at the committee meeting. And I want you to slide it over to your free spirit. How many of you are nerds? You're on my team. All right, nerds, there are three rules for nerds in the budget committee meeting. Rule number one, slide the budget over with all of your opinions and shut up. The free spirit is sick of you preaching at them. They're sick of you telling them every mistake they've made since 1962. They're tired of hearing what Dave Ramsey said. Shut up. Your opinion is on the paper. You just spent the money the way you thought it ought to be spent. Shut up and let them look at it. The second rule, nerds, is this. This is a meeting. It is not a weekend-long financial summit. We're going to stay in here until we get this budget. 17 days we've been in here with dried food. Won't work. Nerds, let me tell you, when your free spirit is sitting there looking at the budget, with a free spirit in the budget, you have a 17-minute window. After that, their body may stay, but their spirit will leave. This is real world, isn't it? The last thing for nerds is this. Nerds, you have to insist that the free spirit change some things on the budget. And the nerds are like, Why would we change it? It's right. Because we're tricking them to get them involved. No, because their opinion counts. Ephesians says, submit yourselves one to another. We're working together here. I want your opinion on this. We're going to take your opinions. Now, free spirits, raise your hand. Did I take up for you? Rule number one for the budget committee meeting for you, you must come to the meeting. Rule number two, bring your brain. I want one is not a process we can use. I work so hard. Oh, shut up. Really? Seriously, I don't want to hear this anymore. Instead, you look at the budget and you go, you know, I think $14 for food might be a little low, honey. And I noticed that green fees for golf are $1,800. I don't know how this math stuff all works, but maybe we could just switch those. Because see, when you get done, it still has to equal zero. This has to balance. You're not in Congress. Okay? Last thing, free spirits. Raise your hand one more time. There's a phrase you've been saying. If you want to have this unity in your marriage, you want to have a total money makeover in the way we handle money, you want financial peace in the budgeting process, there's a phrase you've been saying you can't say anymore. Whatever you want to do, honey. Wrong, cop-out breath. You can't say that anymore. You can't just go, oh, you just take care of it, and I am going to go over here and do things to mess up your plan. That has to stop. We are going to work together from this point forward. Now let's look at singles and money. One-third of the households in America today are headed by a single adult. They're young and never married, or they're single again. 49% of the single parent households now live below the poverty level, according to the Census Bureau. So if you know a single mom, you know a single dad, there's a 1 in 2 chance that they're below the poverty level. They're barely making it. And so if they're in the class, put your arms around them, metaphorically speaking, walk with them, help them any way the class can, because they are struggling. Singles face different issues than married people face when it comes to money. One is they face time poverty and fatigue, which can lead to poor money management. Now, we all face time poverty. We're all busy. We're in a frenetic culture. Everything's just crazy and going nuts. But singles have to do everything by themselves. So there's no delegation. You get the dry cleaning, I'll get the oil change. They get to do both. And so they've got the kids. If there's kids involved, they got the whole thing. And it becomes overwhelming. If you're single, beware of impulse buying, which can be brought on by stress or the I owe it to myself syndrome. My life is tough, and so I'll be better if I just get some new clothes. This is known as medicating your life with spending, which makes your life worse. I met a single mom one time who had, she came in for counseling because every time she dropped her kid off with her nasty, mean ex, they had a fight, and she would go buy a pair of shoes to feel better. And she opened the closet one day, and there were hundreds of pairs of shoes. And she never wore them all. And she didn't even realize she was doing it. And she went, uh-oh, warning, there's a problem. I need some help with this. And so, you know, we put them all on eBay, and we got her out of a bunch of the debt. But, I mean, it was, you know, you cannot do this pity party spending stuff if you're single. I'm lonely. I'm going to go to the mall. That's not the place you go. You don't go spend money to feel better in those situations. Loneliness often causes singles to go out and spend money they don't have just to be, quote, out in the world, to get out of this room, to get out of this house, to get out of this apartment. A lot of eating out goes with that as well. So some strategies for single. A written plan gives the single person empowerment, self-accountability, and control. The budget for the single becomes part of their accountability. It's the plumb line. It's their out of bounds marker so they know when they're there. If you're single, put a circle around that statement right there and put stars all the way around it. A written plan gives a single person empowerment, it gives you self-accountability, and it gives you control because you have something to measure your behaviors against. Because those of us that are married, we have something to measure our behaviors against. It's called our spouse. When we walk in, they go, what's in that bag?
right? But you walk in single, you got to have something to measure it against and go, whoop, I went over this category. Or I can't buy this. I'm going to go over this category. And that's what the budget does for the single. It's very, very, very powerful. You need to develop an accountability relationship when you're single. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. You got to have some help. You got to have somebody looking. It's not that you're incomplete as a single, but the Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. Now, what an accountability relationship is someone who loves you enough to hurt your feelings for your own good. And so this is someone that, you know, you get ready to do your budget, you get ready to go do an expenditure, they're looking at you going, no! And they're just all up in your stuff going, no, you cannot buy a car, it's a flat tire. Fix the car. And this needs to be someone, it could be a parent, it could be an uncle, it can be a friend, it can be a pastor. I don't care who it is, but they ought to have some sense with their money, right? You know, your accountability partner doesn't need to be your shopping buddy. Oh, get three. That's not what we're talking about. And this is someone who you can discuss a purchase with. I'm considering this purchase. What do you think of the wisdom of this purchase? This is someone who you look at your budget with, and they can go over it with you. While you're in Financial Peace University, use your small group as accountability if you're single. But in the meantime, find someone that loves you enough to hurt your feelings for your own good.